With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap-Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, Season 4, Episode 13. Action-packed episode, a lot of moving pieces, a lot of intrigue in the air, and a lot for us to break down here on the Hot Mess Express. I, of course, am your host and conductor, Pouyazan Bakili, ready to break it down for you once more. With me today, I've got a lovely guest, not their first time on the 90 Day Fiancé recap, not their first time recapping this season. It is someone who is a co-host on many podcasts you may have heard of, Make a Mess Magnets, available right now on the Wrap Ups Network. A new podcast incoming, Queen Charlotte on Post Show Recaps, which is a spinoff of Bridgerton. And also one half of the Kowski cast coverage for Riverdale. It is the lovely Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Pouya. I am so thankful that you invited me on for this episode. I feel like this episode had everything you're looking for in 90 Day Fiancé, whichever way you're going. And I just feel so blessed to be here with you.
It is a lottery, right? Because I send my invites out before the episode airs. So we never know what we're going to get to talk about. So sometimes we'll get on the call and we'll get to... right before the pre-show, and it's like, yep, not a lot to talk about. Sorry. Maybe we'll try and get you back so you can talk about X couple. Tonight had a lot of everything, and then one couple was missing, but I'm not mad at it. I'm fine.
Literally, I was talking about this with Sasha yesterday when we recorded Mess Magnets, and I was like, I'm a little sad to not get the Chris and Jamie fight, but also I got everything, so I can't complain about one thing missing.
Yeah, we really got everything you could ask for on an episode. So let's just dive right on in and talk about the biggest story coming out of this episode. And that, of course, is Jen and Rishi. So Jen and Rishi, last time we saw them, there was that buildup. There was the intrigue of, okay, so Jen has now gotten herself a date with Rishi's family. Rishi has agreed to let her come talk to her to his family to kind of put everyone on the same page, get all the answers they need. But without Rishi knowing, Jen has brought in a translator, and herself and her friends are bigging up the translator. Okay, here's what we're trying to do. We're going to drop this bombshell that, hey, Rishi and Jen are engaged. What are your thoughts about that? This is something, obviously, that Rishi did not want to happen until August the 2nd, as the astrologer had told him to. So this is a couple months too early. So this episode, Kirsten, we do get the payoff of that.
Yes. And it, like, even before we get the payoff, just what was discussed last week was just so inappropriate, the way that her friends have inserted themselves at every step along the way. And obviously, you know, you talk about your relationship with your friends to some extent. Friends will give advice on relationships to some extent, but it's never a good time when the friends are like, actually, wait, let me fully insert myself into this situation. And like, you can't allow that. Because this would just never happen in my life. But it's like, if, for example, if you were having some sort of disagreement with Liana, which, I mean, disagreements happen, whatever, and you were like, oh yeah, let me like vent to my friends about it, which is not how you and Liana operate, but just for example's sake. And then I was like, I'm going to go fight Liana about this and confront her with everything. Like, oh, nope, not appropriate. None of this is appropriate. So bizarre.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I feel like specifically, you know, obviously, everyone in their lives, you need friends outside of your relationship. Your relationship can't be the only person in your world, which we'll talk about a couple that kind of discuss this same notion a little later. But you need friends in the world. You need, you know, family, friends, relationship. You can't have your relationship be everything, because that is a lot of pressure on one person. It will not work out. So we all agree you should have friends. But Jen, her friends are too intrusive in this relationship. The fact that Randy, first of all, tried to catch him as a catfish, gets blocked, and then now is here and has decided, how about we throw him off guard and we go to his family and we full on tell the family this information that is not ours to share. It's your guys's to share, but we'll do it without him consenting to it because we'll be able to move it further. This is such a bad decision. And I'm so annoyed at the friends for being involved this deep.
So as a person, I agree with you and I'm annoyed at the friends. But as a TV watcher of the program 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, I love them so much for this.
I mean, it's great TV. Yes, you are not wrong there at all. This is great TV. This is exactly what you want. Is fireworks. Now, it didn't seem like it was a lot of fireworks, but it does move the pieces quite a bit. So they get to the family's place, and while they're on their way to the family's place, we see Rishi. He thinks, you know, he's thinking that, oh yeah, Jen was upset. I think this will help her. This will give her some clarity, and I would love for her to get clarity. This is a good thing. So already he's thinking and looking like, okay, this is a good thing for us. I'm happy for her to have this conversation. Because again, he doesn't know any better at the moment.
Well, but even if they weren't going to expose it, surely he must recognize how weird it is for this woman his parents do not know he's dating to be asking all these questions about his like potential matches. Oh,
it 100% to me, when they were peppering questions, I thought, how does this family not see what is happening? It's so clear that these two have a relationship of some sort, because if one of my friends kept asking my family about proposals and marriage situations and have I been approving of anybody, I think two things. Either this is my best friend who is asking for me because they are looking out for me, or this is someone who's interested in my son. Like, there's no other way to look at it. Yeah. There really isn't.
Exactly. It's super bizarre. I know in the confessional, Rishi's mom was like, oh, maybe they like know someone that they think would be good, because it just would never occur to them that this woman is who their son wants to be with.
Yeah, this is who he's got his sights on. So they have this, they start asking these questions, and, you know, the mom mentions it was never a formal process when it came to finding women for Rishi. They found a couple people. They asked him if he'd be interested in looking in. He said no, and it kind of fell down there. So she immediately says, okay, maybe I should have given him the benefit of the doubt at the restaurant. 100%. You've been acting very irrational about everything, but it's fine. And then Randy decides to speak up. Of course, Randy, the what is it she called herself?
She said she's an interventionist.
That one. She is the interventionist, God. Kirsten.
And she is intervening. She says, I've got something to say. And then lays it all on the line. And you can just see, like, Rishi's kind of hiding his face a little bit while this is all happening. But you can tell he wants to melt into the sofa and die.
Which, I don't blame him. He had no idea this was coming, and it is now being done in front of his face. And all he can do is, like you said, hide his face, because now it's all out. My family knows everything. I didn't even get a chance to mentally prepare for it, to, you know, talk about it. I didn't get a chance to give them tips of how to say it. They've just said it. And now the mom looked shocked. And then immediately looked not happy from where I was standing.
Yeah. So she did not look happy. And even though she said some approving words, I was like, well, yeah, what else are you going to say in front of this woman, her two best friends, an interpreter, and an entire TV crew?
Well, this is literally like when someone does a big public proposal. More often than not, the yes is going to happen. 9 times out of 10, the yes will come, but you just know that behind closed doors is when you're going to know for sure if that was a yes or a no, because no one wants to let anyone down in front of people, especially like to her, strangers in her own house. What is she going to do, turn around and scream at her son? That's not going to happen there.
100%. Nobody would. And when I was talking about this episode with Sasha, she was like, you have to bring up that this is exactly how Indian people would act. And I was like, Sasha, I think that almost everyone would act like this, but I will bring it up.
Hey, I think we're all on the same page here, Sasha.
She didn't say it exactly like that. I'm probably misquoting her, but I was like, I believe you. And also, what else would anyone be able to do? Like,
right. So they do this. They break this out. The mom says that, you know, she would allow it. She mentions that if he's happy, then we're happy, etc. And then she tells us that she's shocked by this and was thinking, oh, maybe they're kidding. But we're not going to say no in front of people because we're in shock. Yeah. And then I don't know why. Because here's what I'm thinking, right? If you're Jen, you just secured a W. The family said they're cool with it. Even if you don't know to your face, they're lying, right?
Yeah.
In what world? What are you smoking that you thought, oh, perfect. Next on the docket, I don't want to live with you. I don't want to do the shared living experience that you probably have imagined, where we all live under the joint house. That's not going to happen. Why is this a conversation you're bringing up now?
She wants everything on the table so that there's no secrets. Nothing is hidden anymore. And it's like, girl, you don't know these people. You need to stop all of this. It's just self-sabotage.
You're sabotaging the relationship to me, because
I just think she's delusional.
Oh, I agree, because again, the whole thing was, you know, we saw this a couple episodes back at this point, where Rishi takes her to his friend's place, who was giving him a tutorial or giving her a tutorial of, hey, here's how we're expected to live if we're doing a joint household thing. And we knew she didn't like that from the jump, and we knew she wasn't going to agree to it for sure. Mm-hmm. But to be like, oh, okay, so I am from another world, from another land, and I am engaged to your son. Oh, you're engaged. Oh, we didn't know that. Damn. Okay, cool. Okay, yeah, we can support that. Yeah. Oh, you can? Okay, good. Also, you've lived your whole lives thinking that Rishi's going to live here with you permanently with his wife, and then they would take care of you, and you would all, like, you know, have that shared living experience. I'm not going to do that. Is that cool? Like, just take your one yes and go for now, yeah, ma'am.
Just go home. And this is the other part too. She says that she would want to live in Mumbai. And that's where Sasha was like, with what money? Because that's like Bay Area pricing. Like,
right. And it is further out than Jaipur, right? I don't know how far. I feel like we've literally looked this up on the podcast before. At it right now, Jaipur to Mumbai is, well, it's a 2-hour flight. So, 20-hour drive. Yeah. So it's a bit of a journey. difference here. So it's like, oh yeah, we want to take your son, but also to a whole other part of the country where you're not going to have as easy access to him.
You thought he'd be in your home, but he won't even be in your city.
Yeah. Neighborhood? No. Two blocks away? No. How about two cities over? How about that? Can you deal with that?
I even think, obviously, we have more context later that this is not going to work at all anyways. But I think if they had said, hey, you know what? We're not going to live in the household with you, but we'll live in the same neighborhood or the same building or something along those lines. I don't know if that would be a compromise that would work, but it's certainly an easier sell than we're going a 2-hour flight away.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Again, this is one of those things where, you know, you really want him to have this conversation with his family. You really want him to put that out there. But perhaps if you were planning on talking about this, you do a little more prepping than we're just going to throw a grenade in the room and see what happens. Because that's not a good strategy to have a conversation like this with full language barrier. Because the translator is doing the Lord's work here, pulling the lion's share of the conversation, which is fine. But it was also very clear to everyone watching that Rishi's mom was not loving that there was a language barrier between potentially the soon-to-be daughter-in-law, you know?
Well, and then as well, she brings that up like, oh, well, you only speak English. You don't speak the same language as us. What would you do about that? And Jen doesn't even consider, oh, well, I would learn the language.
So that's the thing is the question that was asked was to the translator was, well, she doesn't speak English. She only speaks English, whatever. And Jen replied, and I wrote this quote down, that's a very good question, yes, and then proceeded to not answer the question. So where does that leave her wanting to? That to me feels like, I'm not going to learn language.
No, absolutely not. I mean, she's been with Rishi on some level for 3 years. If she was going to learn the language, she would have started a long time ago.
Yeah, I'll say this. If you're trying to move to the country of your partner and the first language in that country isn't English, take initiative to learn at least enough to get you by and enough to show that you really do care. Because to me, you not learning means you have no intention of really doing a lot of other stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what she expects. Like, does she expect to live there and just go through her day-to-day life using like a translator egg all of the time?
Maybe. I mean, that is, you know, not an unrealistic thing for sure, because with technology now, you can get by easily with a translator egg, a good one, at least. You could.
I just feel like if it's going to be where you're living and your whole life, like you have to put in the effort to try and learn at least like the day to day, the conversational. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing is I lived in Dubai my whole life and until I moved, obviously. And then there, the first language is Arabic, obviously, but it is a heavily English-speaking world there because there's a lot of expats. There's a lot of people coming in. So I got by with my English being at a 10, but my Arabic still had to be a 2 because I would still end up encountering people who didn't speak English, and I'd at least have to understand them to then try and put two sentences together back. So for me, having seen India more on the show, I think it's very clear that English is not going to work everywhere. It'll work certainly in a decent amount of spots, but I feel like it's not going to be everywhere. At the very least, here's the thing. At the very least, you know his family doesn't speak English. So learn a couple of things to you know, give that a little impressiveness. You know, impress a little bit.
Yeah, and I feel like we've seen a lot of people on this show who pick up languages or small parts of languages and it means a lot. Like even obviously we haven't talked about Danielle yet. Like she's very obviously not like the best Spanish speaker in the world, but she can definitely understand what people are saying and she can communicate. She gets the point across, even though it's not perfect.
I mean, we've definitely had couples on 90 Day where they don't even speak the same language and they're together. We have.
That's true.
Danielle is definitely far more ahead than anyone else or than a lot of people rather. But yeah, again, to me, like you can't have the translator on retainer. That's not going to happen.
No, what, is she going to move in? Like,
right. Which I mean, is there money for that? I don't think there's enough money out there the poor translator to do that.
Here's the thing. When Jen met the translator, she said, oh no, the family's going to want to marry her to Rishi. When Rishi met the translator, he's like, oh no, maybe my family's going to get some ideas about me marrying her. I'm like, honestly, maybe they could be a good match.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they're like, oh, how about the translator right here? You know, she seems nice.
I feel like translating is probably something that makes a decent amount of money. Like, that's a contributing member of a household. What's Jen contributing?
Bad vibes. No one else can give bad vibes like Jen and crew.
Wait, what's her friend's name again? That told
Randy?
Everyone?
Randy. There's Randy, and then there's the other vibes. One. I don't know the other one's name.
The other one.
And that's a good thing. Other one. If you're the other one, that's a good thing. I don't know your name because Randy, I'm annoyed with. So
Randy is
the worst.
The vibes are not vibing.
No, not at all. So then, what's it called? When they push Rishi's parent mom to say something, she's like, well, you didn't ask us first. You know, she had a bit of a heartbreak, little heartbreak there. Yeah. This is after they had all left, by the way. It was just Rishi and family.
Yeah. And his family's like, can we talk to him alone, please?
Which if you that's the universal language for, oh, they're not going to be happy. They're not happy. Yeah. That's the clearest thing to me. So when talking to his mom, mom mentions that, you know, why didn't you even ask us first? Her heart's a little bit broken. And then Rishi, well, do you need time? I think it was his mom and his uncle. They're like, yeah, we would have to ask everyone. And this gets brought up a couple times. We have to ask everyone. And this is something that I've talked about, Sasha's talked about, but in Asian culture, very much in situations like this, everyone is the surroundings, the family, the friends, the people, the neighbors that you're close to. We need to get everyone's advice on what they think, because what will people think plays a huge part in things like this. And I love the mom's clapback of, well, she brought her friends for support. We need support too. We need to check in. I was like, all right, that's a fair argument. You can't say anything to that.
I mean, extremely fair.
Yeah.
The other thing too, sorry that I think we missed because we were
go for it.
Just vibes only. When they're actually breaking the news to Rishi's parents, Rishi has the confession where he's like, if normally I do the translating and I would have just changed the subject.
Yeah. He's like, if I could, I would have swerved this right here. We wouldn't talk about
it. I loved it so much because, you know, he would have changed the subject and then said something else and then lied and been like, yeah, my parents are good with it.
They approve. They're happy.
Let's move on.
Yeah, no, he was very slick with it, with wanting to do that. But he didn't. He never tried once to back down. I think he was more shell-shocked to do anything. But if he had even a little bit of notice that was going to happen, he would have done. I would have been intrigued. That's the drama I wanted, was for him to realize what's happening and then change subject in front of him and then have everything get weird. That's what I wanted.
Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah. Well, that didn't happen, unfortunately. Here's the thing, though. So there, and then he's like, well, why did you say yes in front of them if you need time? She's like, I didn't say yes. I said I would discuss it first. It's like, okay, mom, you definitely said yes, but respect. Stick to your story. Always deny. And then that's when they are like, oh, well, anyway, how old is Jen? And then it's a deafening silence.
Oh my God.
He's like, well, she's 48. And that's when everything hits the fan. Like, wow, that's 16 years older than you. It's like, that's you. Some people have age difference. Like, this isn't little. This is 16 years. This is a lot. And then mom says, you've decided very wrongly. And then he's like, well, what am I supposed to do? She's like, you're going to say sorry and that you can't marry her. So,
yeah, it's over. Done deal. 16-year age gap, especially when the woman is older. Not happening. They will never approve. And so now the ball is in Rishi's court to see what he decides to do.
Yeah. So now he has to make the tough decision, right, of where to go with this. I love that the episode ends with him saying, you know, if we had waited till August 2nd with the astrologer time, what could have been? Like, my guy, you could have waited and done it at 2 p.m. on August 2nd like you had planned. and it still would have ended up this way. This was never going to work because he's not been putting in the work. This is the other part of this conversation. I'm all for supporting Rishi's decision to want to take time to ask later, to have a conversation later, because potentially with 2 months, that's enough time to build things up. Like, hey, so I've been seeing someone, or like if you're trying to like poke around, like if they're not from India, is that fine with you? What if there's a little bit of an age difference? Is that fine with you? Get the lay of the land or mentally prep them for what's about to come. If he was just going to wait 2 months and then do this anyway, I'm fine with them doing it here. If he wanted to prep stuff, I'm in support of that. But I don't know if I trust that he was trying to prep stuff.
I think that he would have found another reason not to say anything to them in 2 more months, to be honest.
Well, actually, but it rained today. So we're looking at November 30th now. Is that cool?
But I do think like Jen has no understanding of Rishi's culture, of how family dynamics work. And she isn't really trying. And maybe Rishi's not explaining it well to her. But to me, what Jen and her friends pulled was just like,
prime, they broke a full boundary.
It was prime white nonsense. Like nobody else would have done that in the world.
It just, to me, it was the audacity, really, is what it was. The audacity of, oh, we're making this decision for you with your family that you have to deal with the ramifications of. But we're going to leave in 2 days because we're on vacation and haha deal. Because the other part of this conversation, we see this on the next time on, is Jen and Rishi having a conversation. They're talking about that age gap. And I think she says something to the effect of stop wasting my time. And that part, I'm in support of Jen, right? This is now the second, third, fourth time she's been to India and is in purgatory and has been told you have to wait for 2 months. Yeah, I would like some answers, please. But so I don't like him stringing her along, especially if it was always going to end up this way. But at the same time, I don't think that it's unfair to look at the friends here, the Randy and co, and say, you overstepped the boundary here. This was not your story to share. This is not your family to share it with. And this is not information people want to hear from a stranger they've met the first time.
100%. And Jen is just fine with it because she thinks, oh, well, if I don't say it myself, then my hands are clean in this inappropriate situation. No, they're not clean, Jen. You arranged it. You said, okay.
You are complicit in the crime, Jen.
Yes. She's too old for that nonsense. That is like absolutely not.
This definitely gave me scenes of high school. This is something people in high school might do. But even then with people's parents, I don't know. Anyway, we don't need to talk about them no more. Next week, they're going to fight about the age stuff, or he's going to tell her about the age stuff, and that's going to be an issue. So we'll see what happens there. We're going to take a quick break now. And when we get back, we'll talk about Nicole and Mahmoud. Right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, moving on to Egypt. We're going to go to Nicole and Mahmoud and see what they've been up to. Pretty quiet week for Nicole and Mahmoud, which is kind of uncharacteristic for this show.
Yes, absolutely. So weird. But you know what? Everyone's got to have a quiet week from time to time, I guess.
I think a lot of us are thankful for this break, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, fine. It's nice to not have just something horrible happening between them. Although I do miss her friend that she made that I guess isn't her friend anymore.
Her friend was there for one episode and will be remembered for many moons to come. No doubt.
I think it was the next episode that they were on. Nicole was like, yeah, she did attack my husband, so we can't be friends. And I was like,
boo.
Attack? That was not an attack.
She can't have my husband yet because you sat there and said, I'm being held captive. And she was like, I'm going to kick his ass for you. And they're like, wait, no, I didn't say all that. I'm fine. Why are you doing that? You said you needed help and she was going to be your friend.
Yeah, but Mahmoud didn't like hit her. So Nicole's proud of him.
Oh, my. Yeah, well, she was like, yeah, he didn't. He did better than I thought. I was like, well, when the bar is in hell, any little thing will look good. So literally. Oh, my. Anyway, so in this episode, there's no Nicole with an asterisk. I'll get there in a second. This episode, the Nicole and Mahmoud storyline was primarily shifted and focused on Mahmoud talking to his brother about, hey, Nicole mentioned moving to the US and I'm actually considering it. That was the core of the story. But the reason I say asterisk, Kirsten, I noticed this. Shout out to Reddit, who has people with magnifying glass eyes that I've never seen before.
Yes, so, I saw this too.
It was so creepy. So they are going to this cafe where they've set up a game of dominoes. The two brothers are going to play. So Mahmoud's brother is already there and he shows up. And as he sits down, we see in the background, there's a face that's like blurred out or whatever. But then in one fleeting moment, that face is no longer blurred. And it's Nicole creeping from the corner of this cafe, trying to like look at them without getting caught by the camera. Well,
and there's also like a table kind of in front of it. That's like two civilians that are not involved in 90 Day. Mm-hmm. And they're both blurred. And so then it kind of like hides her. And then you see her pop out and it's like, oh, so she's spying.
Like, oh, so she is there. Because then Mahmoud said, yeah, I'm meeting my brother in a men's only cafe. I was like, sir, why are you like, no, this is clearly not the case, but whatever. That's not the story. I did want to point that out because I thought it was funny that she got caught and that TLC did not catch her. And we were able to see that and talk about it.
Oh, TLC for sure knew she was there because they can't just be lazy with blurring. Oh,
TLC
faces.
Knew they, but I don't think they knew that she'd be in the frame that the final cut, I think.
They definitely knew when they were editing it though. But other than that, yeah, like, I don't know. Cause they can't just be like, oh, well, that person, you can't really see them, so we won't blur it. Like, they purposefully had an unblurred shot of her there for us, and I thank them for it.
Ah, you think they wanted to leave a little cheeky Easter egg there?
I just think the liability concerns on if you don't blur someone's face on this show who didn't sign a release, it's too high.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the whole reason she's hiding in a corner to me is that they didn't want her for this scene, right? Because it's not like the brother doesn't know that she's there. It's not like Mahmoud doesn't know she's there. I think they both know she's there. But in my head, it was like, okay, well, for this a conversation, like you're not going to be a part of, so you can just chill in the corner here. And then they messed up on hiding her because what's the point of her being there but not at the table? It's weird.
So that we can laugh at her.
Well, that worked. So he talks to his brother and basically he tells his brother, listen, you know, we had a conversation and Nicole is kind of done with Egypt and would like to move back to the States, but she would like to take me with her. And I'm considering this because, you know, she's been trying. I was thinking about it. At first, I was mad, which he tells in confession later that, yeah, he was mad. But then when he thought about it more, he realized that, you know, Nicole has been trying to adapt for 4 years overall, 4 months total in those 4 years. But, no, you know, nevertheless, been trying to adapt to living here. I should at least try. And his brother says, well, listen, it's your call. But here are the 18 reasons I don't think you should go. He's like, you will miss your people. You will not feel at home. You will feel out of place. And then in confessional, he says that he doesn't feel like Mahmoud should move. And all I can think is that's kind of hypocritical, because as much as I don't like Nicole, she literally is doing the same thing you're describing that he would not like. So what the hell?
Well, I think it's also they think that either Nicole will leave or Nicole be molded into the perfect wife in Mahmoud's opinion. And so why should he have to go through discomfort and try anything? I don't know. I just like, I want them to give up, because if I have to see this couple on like a season of regular 90 Day.
Never. No shot. Actually,
well, I guess it would have to be Happily Ever After, because they're already married, right?
I'm trying to think. Happily Ever After. Yes, it would have to be Happily Ever After, because actually they could end up on The Other Way season, like the next season of The Other Way. They could still be there. Because this isn't just one-off show. They do have couples that have come back multiple times, i.e. look at Ari and Binyam, who had quite a few appearances. And definitely there's other couples that have...
Yeah, but they...
But then there's some that graduated to Happily Ever After as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think with Ari and Binny, did they move to regular 90 Day, or did they move to Happily Ever After, or were they not married? I can't remember.
They definitely were on The Other Way initially.
Yes.
I'm trying to look at the cast for it,
because it was only recently that they actually moved to the States, and I can't remember which season of the show it was.
Yeah,
I think it must have been just regular.
Well, I do think they ended up on the regular potentially.
Yeah, I think the last time we saw them was on regular.
Yeah, because they were on 90 Day Fiancé season 9, like regular.
Yeah.
But they've also been on The Other Way as well.
Several times. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, they could end up on regular, or they could end up on Happily Ever After.
They'd have to still be together, which is the big question mark here.
And I pray that they're not, because like, I do think they have a lot of love for each other and care about each other. Mm-hmm. The fact that he would even consider going when he's never really shown an interest in it before makes me feel like, yeah, he definitely really cares about her. That doesn't mean that you should be married and live together. It just doesn't. And I'm sorry.
Well, there was a quote that Debbie says in the next time on for Debbie on Osama, which is love conquers all. I respectfully disagree that love conquers all for a relationship. There is so much more. I've said this in many different analogies. Specifically, I remember the brownie. But yeah, love is a big ingredient, but it's not the only ingredient. There's other things that need to go in it. And, you know, the brother, for as much as he's trying to spook Mahmoud from going to the US, raises a couple of good arguments, which we will discuss here. One of which being, hey, here's the thing. Are you guys still having arguments about the clothes and stuff? He's like, yeah. He's like, are you still having arguments about this? Yeah. Well, you need to clear all that up first. And I thought, yeah, that is absolutely 100% the right move. You need to get on the same page before any of you board a plane to the other person's country ever again.
Yeah, they need to actually make decisions. And that's the thing, too. Like, you can say love conquers all, but it has to be a type of love where you are willing to make compromises and come mm-hmm. to agreements. And if you can't do that, then it's just not going to work.
Well, when you're fundamentally on the opposite side for so many things and you just don't see a way where you're going to agree with it, that's when you hit your impasse. And, you know, clearly she's mentioned she doesn't like the clothing stuff. Clearly he's mentioned, I don't like these friends. I don't like those friends. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do that. He's more of a controlling partner and she's more of an independent person. So these are all big clashes that you cannot just go unsolved. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the two of them, their way of dealing with arguments is we're just not going to talk about them and pretend everything's fine. And then things are looking good for us. And this has happened quite a few times already on this season where they were fighting and then it's the next day and they're like, yeah, so we decided not to talk about it anymore because we didn't want to fight. So we're kind of putting it on snooze. This is the time to wake up, because this is another big decision you're trying to make and you simply cannot make it without being on the same page. You just, or you shouldn't rather, not you kidding.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So then the brother basically ends it by saying, think about what your life will be in the US, and you must find agreements before you do anything beyond that. And then in the next time on, we do see Nicole and Mahmoud. No, we do not see Nicole and Mahmoud. I take that back. We don't see them on the next time on. So that should give you an indicator of where this is headed.
A little bit. I mean, I don't know. I just hope that it's them breaking up so we never see them again.
I think I feel good about that happening, but we'll see.
I hope so.
Fingers crossed. Okay. So then let's move over to Danielle and Johan, who had, I think, the second most content this week of any of the couples.
It was certainly a lot.
It was a lot. It was wild. So Danielle and Johan, Danielle has come home and she's going to cook. She's going to make, pasta and shrimp or something?
Yeah, I think shrimp and pasta.
Yeah, and Johan's very surprised that she wants to cook. And I'm not sure what the context here was. Does she not cook usually? Or is this like, she's cooking because she wants something, is what he's thinking. I'm not quite sure how to place it. So I'm just not going to attempt to figure it out.
Yeah, I got the impression she maybe doesn't cook that much, but also we have no idea.
Yeah. So then he comes into the kitchen to like maybe help or like be with her. And she says, suddenly we're good, huh? Like, so, to me, I interpret it as, so there's food and you come running. I was like, hey, listen, I've been there.
But also, like, she's coming into this. I saw her cooking as like, this is a peace offering. We're going to talk about things.
Yeah.
You can meet my friend. And so when he comes in and she immediately turns on like the antagonistic side of things, I'm like, well, what do you think this is going to accomplish, Danielle?
It's not great because, again, you two are not on a steady land right now. You're both beefing. It's not been good for a little bit. But she mentions... he says, no, I actually do have a lot of problems still, and I am very mad still, which is like, but I'm trying to be nice. And then she says, well, I think we need to come to a solution. We need to figure stuff out. He's like, well, I've offered a solution, but you don't like it. She's like, yeah, because your solution is silly. And this all goes back to she wants to hang out with Taylan, and she's saying, I want to have friends. And his argument is, you can have friends, but you know, for me, I have friends. My wife comes before my friends. I just don't feel like I come before your friends. And she doesn't quite wrap her head around this. And I don't think she realizes that when he says, I don't want you to hang out with your ex and you are doing exactly that, that you don't respect his decision or care for him. So you're putting your friends first. To me, that makes sense that if the way he's looking at it, yeah, she's putting her friends first.
Well, and he also never said, you can't have friends. He said, I'm uncomfortable with you hanging out with your ex.
Yeah.
Which is specifically
the ex.
Like, exactly. It's a very different conversation. Like, it's been said to death on the podcast, so we don't really need to get into it. But, like, she doesn't seem to understand that could be a boundary for someone. Mm-hmm. And she has no respect for Johan having any boundaries.
No. Definitely not. And I think that's the big thing here is that when she says, well, your solution's silly, it's because it's not what she wants, right? It's like, that is not the solution that works for me. So they back and forth on this a little bit. And she says, well, I really do think if you meet Taylan, you'll change your mind. And you'll realize that there's nothing there and it's just a friend, da, 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 da. You'll be fine because I want my friends to be your friends and your friends to be my friends. That's really where I want to be. And he finally agrees. He says, okay, I'll meet Taylan. And all I could think was, this is not going to go well. This was a mistake. You have made a mistake.
Because he's not coming into it with like a good energy either. Of like, oh yeah, like I'll meet Taylan. It's fine. He's like, well, okay, yeah, I'll meet Taylan then. Like, okay, well. That's not going to go well.
Yeah, you knew full well what this man was about to do the minute you see this news drop.
No, I've got to admit, I did not know exactly what this man was going to do. I don't think he did what was expected.
I knew he was going to come in with antagonistic energy. What I didn't expect was to hear the questions that he chose to put out
yes.
in the world.
Okay, yes, that's a much better way to put it.
Yeah. So let's just skip over to that then. Okay, so they go to meet up with Taylan, And Talon comes in, and Talon's dressed in, he called it pink pants and shirt. It didn't look pink to me. It looked a little bit closer to maybe like a salmon or like a light red. Almost.
That's pink.
Pink is that pink?
Pink. Salmon is pink and light red is pink.
I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't mind either of the colors. I think it I thought the fit looked decent. I don't think I could pull off that fit, but I thought it looked decent.
I think you could. I think you could, Puya.
Well, I appreciate that. So Taylor comes walking in and Johan says, oh, look at this guy. He's coming in with pink pants and shirt. Looks like a flamingo. And then he says, I'd rather die than dress like that. And I thought, that is so extreme to say that.
Like, it really wasn't that wild of an outfit either.
Was he like, because pink is feminine? Like, what was his angle here?
I mean, it could be coded in that way.
That's
but
what it felt like to me. That or he's just being a dick to be a dick because he doesn't want to like Talon.
Maybe he would never wear like a matching type thing is kind of, or the not wanting to look like Talon, I think, are the more generous reads. It could be a gender role thing and thinking that pink is for girls, which is ironic because originally pink was for boys, but okay.
I'm more and more, you know, I love the color pink. One of my favorite hoodies is my pink one.
Like so. What? How are you going to say a color is only for one gender? Like,
it's
get
dumb.
Out of town. Anyone can wear whatever they want.
Yes.
It's okay. Fine.
Audience, this is the engagement moment of the week. Let us know. Tweet at us at Kirsten Said What, at Puyaism. How did you take this his comment? Did you think he meant it in a way that it was more so like gendered, or was it just the just a shot at Talon, or was it just a out the gate, I don't like this guy and I'm trying to say a mean thing out the gate? Let us know.
Yeah, okay. I'd love to know what people think.
I agree. So then he gets in, awkward silence immediately, but then he begins his questioning because Danielle said you can ask. Yeah. Well, listen, Danielle told him you can ask anything you want and you'll come to see that there's nothing here and that we're just friends, we're good friends, whatever. So he really took that and said, oh, bet. Okay, I'm going to do that. So first question, how did you meet? We met in Miami in 2020. So Chappelle nailed it. Pandemic relationship confirmed. Yeah. And they also specify here that, yeah, it was 4 months, but it wasn't really like a marriage or we're going to be long term. It was just some pandemic fun, which I thought this is not the best thing to the way to phrase this.
Yeah, but I don't know how to phrase it that would make Johan feel better about it either, is the problem.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like, that is definitely fair.
The thing is if you're like, oh yeah, we dated and we lived together, but it was only casual because of COVID, is kind of the same thing. And I don't know. Because you want to be like, yeah, they live together. You can't deny that. But then it also wasn't a serious relationship. So you kind of have to mention that, oh, it's like just for fun.
We're just chilling. Yeah.
And then Johan's going to be like, so then why do you need to see him? Why do you care so much?
Right. Which, I mean, not a bad question to ask. If you were only really together for 4 months, that means you weren't that close. Or I'm assuming you're not that close. You're not talking all that often.
If it's 4 months of living together in COVID isolation, although how much were things really closed in Florida is the other question. Like, were they going to the bar?
We don't know how strict they were on following any, not even guidelines, but self-imposed guidelines. So I don't know. But here's my thing. And this is maybe a personal thing. I feel like I'd be much more uncomfortable sitting there with a partner's former, like, friends with benefits than I would be with someone they dated for a year. Because I think there's something about we didn't really want to be long-term together, but the sex was so good that we kept doing it frequently. I don't know if I'd feel insecure. I'd feel insecure.
Well, and that's the thing for me is like, I am so deeply insecure that like, I would never get to this point where I'm sitting down with them. Like,
would never meet your version of Talon. I'm not doing this.
I would never want to. Like, my boyfriend has, like, mentioned his, like, university girlfriend before. And I'm like, what's her name again? I want to kill her. Like, I wish she was dead.
You're like, she no longer exists. Look at this pen.
Yeah.
The pen, like, flashed. All right, we move on.
Which is like, and it's not like he's ever said anything that should make me feel that way. But I just am an unhealed person. So I get very jealous.
And that's fair. And that's, again, this is the beauty of relationships, is that people have different boundaries, different ways they look at things and different ways they interpret things. And that is allowed. And Danielle, yes, and should allow it.
And Josh and I are on the same page about that kind of stuff versus
these two.
Danielle and Johan can't come up with an agreement at all.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the first couple of questions. You know, how did you meet? How long were you dating? And then Johan says, actually, can you stand up? So Talon stands up. They stand in front of each other. He's like sizing him up. He's like, oh, I'll tell you 6'5". Oh, okay, cool. You know, he's a little 6'5". Johan is taller. Then Johan asks him to sit down. Then Johan asks how big his feet are. And he says, oh, I'm size 14. And then she's like, oh, that's like you. You're both size 14. Cool. And I thought, weird question, but yeah, hey, find some common ground. Sounds good. Then he says, yeah, Danielle likes dudes with big penises, so you've got a big penis. And this got weird real quick.
Like, it was already weird, but it got so much more weird. And it also is just like, we get it, Johan. You wanted to talk about your giant penis. We understand. That doesn't mean that every person Danielle's ever been with is packing.
We don't know.
Like, we don't exactly. We don't know. Maybe they are.
But you can also be 6 foot something and not be packing. Probably, I think.
I think that anyone could be packing or not packing.
Yeah.
And you really aren't going to find out until like,
the
moment.
The size of the feet, like the bigger the feet, the bigger the blank. That's been debunked, right? That's not really a one for one.
I don't think that is scientifically proven whatsoever.
Yeah. So I don't know what this was. It literally became a dick measuring contest. You know, there's no other way to phrase it, but that's what it became.
I'm floored that he didn't pull out a ruler and be like, how long is it?
Are you sure? All right, I'm going to need you to take this, walk into that corner, then come back and tell me what the measurement was.
And like, that's so wild. But honestly, after that conversation, I could see Johan being like, yeah, go get hard and measure it for me. Thank you.
Oh my God.
What? You can't tell when it's like not an action.
You could have said erect.
I feel like that sounds worse.
Does it? I don't know. I don't know.
Listen, it's all bad and we're in hell. I'm sorry I made you uncomfortable. To anyone listening, I'm sorry if I made you uncomfortable.
A little too late to say, you know, the get ready for, you know, some language. But genuinely, this is what they were talking about. And we were just as floored as you are. So then the conversation goes a little bit awkward from there, because clearly Danielle's not loving this conversation now.
No, because what the hell are you doing?
Well, OK, so here's the good question, right? She says her theory was that he's insecure, and when he feels insecure, he'll do and say things to embarrass me and bring me down so that he can have the power over me, is how she describes what's happening to Talon in the moment.
Well, which is like a very dark impression of her husband.
Yes.
I thought it was more so, I think it was a little bit petty, a little bit spiteful. And I think Johan was like, well, if I go and I make this super awkward, Danielle won't want to have this conversation anymore and will agree to like not try and make me be friends with her exes. And also maybe she won't be friends with her exes anymore.
I think so. I think here's what happened. I think Johan meets Talon and immediately, based on the way he's talking about him, thinks this guy has nothing on me. I am an ace. I am well endowed. I am taller. I am A, B, C, D, really feeling himself. Then I think the petty factor comes in. I think he's like, she said I could ask anything. I'm going to take that very seriously, and I'm going to ask whatever I want. and it's going to make some people uncomfortable, but that's fine. I'm going to ride it like that. That's what I'm going to do. And obviously, he kept going until a line was found. And the line was, I don't want to discuss my, like, our relationship. That's off limits here. Because he asked, if Danielle said she wanted to have sex with you, would you say no? And Jalen says, yes. He's like, why? And Jalen's like, because she's married, dude. That's why.
Which, like, it's not helping his case, because then Johan's like, oh, so if she wasn't married, you would want to still be with her.
Yeah. So. Like, that's definitely, I mean, he went in looking for cracks, right? If you say something a little wrong, I will choose to take it incorrectly and use it against you, is how it felt.
Yeah. And I think that probably Talon was saying, well, if I say, oh, well, she's married, it's showing that I have respect for your marriage.
For marriage, yeah.
But what it comes across as is, oh, but I would still totally, like, do it if she wasn't married.
Why did he say it like that in your retelling?
I don't know. That's my impression of a man.
Oh, totally. I would do it.
Yeah, see, that sounded just like you.
Wow. Okay. All right. Disrespect aside. Then, you know, she mentions, okay, we're not having this conversation. He's like, why? She says, well, because our relationship is in the past. That's private. You're getting into privacy territory here, because he wants to essentially hear how the sex was. And she's like, we're not doing that. And I thought, you know what? I don't like Danielle. I agree. You need to not do this. You need to put your foot down and not have this conversation go there, because I just don't know what good comes out of that.
Nothing good will ever come out of that. And, like, she's right. Like, what is the utility of talking about her past sex life with her ex in front of a camera crew and also in public? It's just not the time or place, and it will never be the time or place for that discussion.
No, and these are conversations that I do not see anyone having with their wife or husband, like with their partner and the partner's ex there.
No,
aside
never.
From if they're like five drinks deep, like from the barrels of your gut, you were, you know, this is like the truth serum has hit you and you want to know for whatever reason. This was clearly at their most sober at the beginning of this hangout.
And it was so bizarre, too, because then he's getting kind of like with Danielle, like, why not? Why can't we talk about it? And she's like, well, like, it's rude what you're asking, and that's private stuff. Like, we don't have to talk about it. And he's just like, you should tell me. Oh, okay. Weirdo.
100% he's doing this to get a rise out of her at that point. Like, he's being a little bit of a troll is the best way I can look at it and describe it as. And then Jalen asks a very good question. And the question is, well, do you trust her? Do you trust your wife? And he's like, I do, but then sometimes she'll say one thing and then do another. And this is when Danielle starts to well up and start crying a little bit, start tearing up. And Jalen has the audacity to say in confessional, yeah, you know, I try and not get involved in other people's business. That's why I don't want to say anything, or that's why I don't want to get involved. I was like, you got involved when you were giving opinions and advice last week. Stop it. You are in the mess right now, because if he said, I don't want her to hang out with you, and you didn't say, oh, I'll respect that, then yeah, you are in the business now. Congratulations.
Yeah, he was really trying to backpedal in the confessional as if he played no role in this interaction happening.
Yeah, and sure he did. But obviously, he also got caught in the crossfires a little bit.
Well, yeah, he was asked some inappropriate questions as well. But it's also like Johan agreed to go on to this, and she was like, perfect, we're meeting tomorrow for lunch. So, like, Danielle had already planned it with the assumption that he would go. So I don't think anyone is a winner in this situation.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. Yeah, there's nothing but losers here, folks.
Except us, we get to win by seeing the television.
Seeing this messy nonsense that's happening. So yeah, she mentions that she's crying because she feels like he doesn't trust her and wants to humiliate her. That's when this theory that we brought up that she mentioned came up. I do not think he's trying to go for a power grab like that. I don't think he's as savvy and smart to think of that. I do think he has a defense mechanism of, oh, you're not listening to me. Let me make this really awkward, but then toe the line enough to be like, well, you said ask anything and I'm getting to ask anything. So how, why is that a problem?
Yeah, well, exactly. And I mean, if she thinks that he feels that way about her, then girl, that's your answer. You got to go.
Yeah, you must leave. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200. Like, this should be done, please, for yourself and for this relationship. Y'all need to be over.
Well, but this is the most time they've ever spent like together in person before, right?
I mean, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
What do you mean, like in person in the relationship?
Yeah.
They've been together for a year, right? Overall, in person and out of person. And I do think this is potentially the longest now. And I'm not sure what the, how many months it's been since she moved. Although she did leave and come back, right? So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I forget that because they kind of like shoved that in the middle. Like quietly.
They were like, oh, yeah, she's just visiting. And then I was like, and in a month, she is moving there. So, yeah, hard to say.
Yeah.
I'm so that's also sure like there. More could be coming out because they've never really lived together.
Well, yeah. Then they don't strike me as a couple that have had a lot of conversations about expectations and stuff.
About anything. So. You could have stopped at conversations.
Yes. so that never happened. And, you know, they're having the hard things happen now because they've not really talked about anything before. So that's where we're left with them on the next time on. They're arguing again about not, you don't respect me, et cetera, et cetera. So that is to come very soon. By soon, I mean next week. More fighting. This is a couple that I think are still going to be together. I don't think that's changing at all, but we'll see.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. All right, then. Shall we move on over and talk about the next couple, which is going to be Osama and Debbie. Kirsten, take it away.
Oh my God. So we wanted this to work so badly. We wanted Osama and Debbie to be together, but it's been obviously riddled with issues like when she got there and he was like, well, you'll leave in a month. And so last week they were doing their painting and he wanted to paint and she wanted to discuss their future because he never wants to discuss it. And we got to see the end of that conversation this week, which basically culminated in him saying, well, you're going to take me to America for a visa so that I can work there because artists have more options there. And if you don't want to live with me in America, then we're done here.
That's that.
And I just, here's the thing. He said the quiet part out loud, right? Because a big part of the 90 Day universe is obviously the USA propaganda where everybody wants to move to America and you have to doubt if love is real, which I think for the most part is not the case happening on the show or in general. Like, that's just like a lot of work. But to say on TV that that is your plan, I think even if she agreed and tried to get the visa, immigration might have something to say about it.
It is bold. It is bold. This is the most confusing couple now for me, because initially it was very clear. Okay, so Osama did not say to her that this is going to be temporary. And he told us he didn't say that because if he did, she would never come to see him. So now she's here. He says, okay, you're going to leave after a month. And that was a bit of an issue the first night. Seems to have been fine after that. Then this bombshell about the US drops that this is the final plan. Since you want a plan so bad, this is what we're doing. If you don't want it, we're over, blah, blah, blah. But then later when she's like, you never said the US to me, the plan was I move here. He's like, nope, we did talk about that. And she's like, no, you're lying to me. You're being a serpent. Now, here's the question. Do we think that he is full gaslight lying about the US ever have been in the books? Or do we think that maybe Debbie forgot, or was this one of those things that they never really talked about? And he just kind of always thought it and kind of insinuated it. Like he said, oh, you know, when we, you know, I would love for us to see Boston one day. She's like, oh, we'll definitely see Boston. He's like, oh, she said we'll see Boston. Okay, that's cool. Then she knows what the plan is, like implied.
I think that in general, up until like this episode, Osama hasn't really had a very direct communication style, whereas mm-hmm. Debbie is very direct. And so I think they've probably touched on the idea of possibly living in America, and they touched on the topic of possibly living in Morocco, and they touched on the topic of maybe living with his parents. Like, I think they probably talked about a lot of things. But I think that they ultimately probably decided that she would move there. And he probably thought in his head, oh, she'll hate it here, and then we'll move to America.
Ah.
That's my theory on the matter. That he just, and then when she really didn't like his parents' house, maybe he thought, oh, perfect, this will be exactly it. And then she's like, oh, no, we'll just live in this other town that's not that far away because I want to live in Morocco. And he's like, no, we're going to move to America. But he had never like firmly said that he wanted to live in America before.
Right. Yeah. I feel like I don't trust Osama here.
No, I do think he's gaslighting when he says, oh no, we've talked about it. I think
that's
it's like
the bigger energy I get is that
it came up maybe, but they never like planned on it.
Yeah. Well, to me, it just feels like the way he made her move here and said, yeah, I'm not going to tell her that this is temporary because if I do, she won't show up. To me is the bigger indicator of,
yeah,
okay, this is sketchy. There's an asterisk here for sure. And I think the biggest thing for me is that, I just can't trust him here because I think Debbie's heart has always been in the right place. She fought for him versus Julian. And the whole time I was hoping, please let Julian be wrong. Please. I am no longer in a place where I can even buy that. I think 100% definitively the thing that 90 Day didn't want or wants us to always think about the non-American person in the relationship is true here. I do think, audience, Osama was going for that green card. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I do think so.
Well, and I like that's obviously I feel like the show always wants us to think that that could be the option. And it's probably extremely hard to find someone who is actually going through with that type of love scam to get a green
right.
card.
And well,
so
okay.
They're stoked yeah. to have this.
Here's the other thing I want to say, though. I do think he genuinely wants that. I don't think his feelings towards Debbie are a lie. I think he genuinely does have a real authentic relationship with her. But the big thing that comes out in this episode that he expresses is that, you know, I'm an artist, I'm a poet. This makes no money here. There is no money in the arts here. But in America, we can live together. We can make art. We can make money. That can happen. So
I mean, what art is he making that's going to be worth so much money in America?
I don't know.
I don't know. I just think if he was so talented, we would have seen more examples of it at this point.
I mean, I don't know much about the art world and what costs how much. Sometimes I'm surprised by how like things can cost the price they do. But with him, I did kind of buy it of like, yeah, you know, he does believe that there's more money in arts there, more money in, you know, doing what he wants to do there. So I was like, okay, that's cool. But again, he went about it the complete wrong way by essentially trying to bring her there, kind of maybe do a love bomb or show her how good they can be together and then be like, all right, well, we want more of this, right? We should probably go back to yours and not to mine.
Yeah, he didn't approach the situation in the right way at all. And my heart just broke for Debbie, who's like, I'm never going to let anyone read me a love poem again. Like, I will never feel this way for someone. Like, she's just so broken at the prospect of having been used in this way. And yeah, like, obviously he doesn't like hate her, but I don't think that he has as much love for her as maybe she thought or maybe we thought originally.
Yeah, and I think that's very fair. I think she just sees him as a bit of a snake, a bit of a scammer at this point, and I don't think she can unsee that part of him is how I feel. She later does have a FaceTime call with her son, Julian.
It's me, Mom.
I'm telling you this right now. Debbie's going to be on The Single Life. There is no world they're going to let this woman leave the show.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
So she's 100% going to be there. Just mark it down now. And remember, I said it. Okay. So he talks to she talks to Julian. And Julian says, well, I'm not going to say I told you so. But you know, he really wanted to. And then he basically is trying to just figure out, okay, so where are you at? Are you okay? Is everything fine? Nothing really comes from this otherwise. They do start maybe patching things up in the next time on. So,
well, yes and no. Because Osama's basically like, well, when I get mad, I could say anything. And you just can't believe what I say when I'm mad.
That is a bad argument to be like, if I ever yell and get angry, remember, we talked about it. You should not take that seriously. And that is not a thing that works. Okay. I'm someone who, when I speak, I sometimes sound like I'm angry. I've been told I can come across as aggressive sometimes when I'm not. But I can't be like, well, when you hear that, just pretend that I'm not being aggressive and it'll be fine. Because if you hear it and feel a certain thing in the moment, you can't shut that off. And this specifically, he is saying, no, I am being aggressive because I'm angry, but I say things I don't mean. So don't take them seriously or to heart. It's like, I'm sorry, but if you're standing in front of me and you're spitting in my face, yelling at me, I'm not sure I'm just going to be like, oh, just goofy old Osama having a temper tantrum. I've been told not to react and I will not. That's not going to work.
Classic Osama asking me if I'm mentally ill because I question his decision.
I cannot get over when he's like, yes, I'm a creep. I'm a bee. I'm a a-hole. I'm all these things. I still can't get over that.
Well, not to me. I'm just like, okay, well, you have a lot of emotional maturing to do, buddy. I don't think it's good. And like, I don't, like, we haven't seen any evidence of Osama actually like doing anything abusive. So I don't want to say that. But the prospect of being like, oh, well, but like what I do when I'm angry doesn't count, could take you down a dark path.
Sorry, my computer froze for a second. So that's the thing, right? It's that the saying that I'm going to get mad and say things I don't mean, again, when emotions are in place, you can't expect anyone to just have an on-off switch of, oh, I've chosen not to feel pain here. That's never going to be the case. So it's wishful thinking on his part. But yeah, I just think that ultimately that's never going to be a good solution for the relationship, no matter how you slice that cake.
Exactly. It's just, it's not looking good. And we will see Debbie on The Single Life, not any other part of the 90 Day franchise.
Now, watch us have egg on our faces when we get to the tell-all. Like, yeah, we've been going strong for 2 years. It's been great.
Would cry. I would literally cry.
I just want to know if Osama's dad painted her the picture she wanted. That's what I would like to find out.
I highly doubt it.
I
would love to see Debbie was so chipped.
All right, moving on from the awful takes of the views of Kirsten McInnes do not reflect those of Puya and the Hot Max Express.
She's his type.
Nope. Moving on. I don't know if she would know what a PS5 is to get him one.
Oh, she would figure it out. You think, what's her son's name? Julian? You think Julian doesn't have a PS5?
You think Julian's letting Soulja Boy get anywhere near Debbie?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? That's true. But imagine the arguments between them. Because, like, Soulja Boy had arguments with Kimberly's son. But Kimberly's son is, like, a normal, rational human. And Julian is unhinged.
Yeah, I think now that he's been right once, I don't think he'll ever let Debbie find love outside of the USA ever again.
Debbie will never let someone read a love poem to her again, so it's fine. She'll be alone.
You've ruined it for everyone, Osama.
How dare you.
Okay, so let's talk about the last couple here. The couple we love the most on this here, a Hot Mess Express. But couple that came with a lot of turmoil this episode, and that is, of course, Gabe and Isabel. So the reason for turmoil is that now we've introduced Monica into the story a little bit more firmly. Monica is Gabe's sister, and Monica is a bit of a menace, Kirsten.
Just a little bit. Monica wants to be so inserted in everything going on with Gabe. And like, on the one hand, I mean, sure, be concerned. You're a sister. Sisters worry. But also, she's never taken the time to actually get to know Isabel.
No.
So I don't really understand how she can have all of these concerns. And Isabel, I think, put it really well towards the end of the episode when she's like, oh, like, Monica and Gabe are not as close as I thought they were. So she just doesn't know anything.
Yeah, I'm actually very interested to break this down with you because I have some feelings about Gabe that I may not have had before.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of discourse about this as well. People really upset at Gabe kind of pushing himself to the side of things so that he doesn't have to be the bad guy in any given situation, maybe a little bit more passive.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't love that, but I also don't think that being conflict averse is necessarily like, oh, well, he's the worst person ever.
No, not by any means. So let's break it down for the audience here. So Gabe is back in Medellin now. Their wedding is in 2 weeks. That's the timeline we're given. Note, there's one other scene with them, and that is 3 days from the wedding. So there's a big time jump here. But before that happens, he arrives in Colombia to get, you know, to get everything sorted with Isabel. They're very happy to see each other. It's very lovely. They're going to have a small wedding with 40 people. They're planning out, okay, so Monday we'll do the notary. Then we'll go look at the spaces potentially. Da-da-da-da-da. And then we're told also that his family is going to be there. His family being his mom and Monica have agreed to come to the wedding. And she mentions, like you said, Kirsten, she doesn't know them. And we know that outside of some pleasant hellos and goodbyes in the background of the Zoom call, they've not really spoken. So a lot of what Monica thinks about Isabel is from Gabe. And a lot of what Isabel thinks about Monica is from Gabe because they don't know each other outside of the stories, right? Secondhand stories.
And so, it seems like Gabe hasn't really told either of them all that much about the other.
No. And, you know, potentially is painting them in ways that the other's not going to like. And I don't necessarily think on purpose. But for example, when they met up last week and they were hanging out at the cafe or whatever, him, his mom, and Monica, the prenup thing comes up and Gabe mentions, I don't even want to ask her about the prenup. She will, like, that is too much. She'll freak. That's not good. That will look like this, that, whatever. And I think that was more so projecting Gabe's own ideologies on the prenup thing onto Isabel to just get Monica off his case in the moment.
Because Isabel, when they talked about it, was very like, okay, well, I'll sign it. But if I'm signing it, then I need to take a salary from the company because I'm doing work for it. Which I thought was extremely reasonable.
Yeah, and that was the thing when they were having, so they went out for lunch, the two of them did. And, you know, Isabel asked Gabe, well, how did everything go with your family? He mentions, you know, this, that, whatever. And mentions, oh, she did bring up a prenup. And I said, no. And I think in that moment, Gabe was like, yeah, look at me. I stood my ground. I said, hell no, we don't need that. And she seemed a little bit irritated. She got offended by hearing that Monica even suggested this. But that's when she does bring up that, well, if we are protecting our assets through a prenup, then yeah, I would have to be compensated properly and, you know, by the books, because I'm doing a lot of work for this business as well. And I can't just have that be not official if that does happen.
Yeah. And so this is also a point where it becomes clear, like, Gabe has not said how much Isabel is doing to help the company, because obviously she's doing a lot and helping the business be successful. And Monica kind of approaches it at like, oh, well, Isabel's trying to like take your company or whatever. Super weird.
Yeah. So then we can move over to the 3 days from the wedding. That's when his mom and Monica arrive at the scene. And Isabel's definitely worried about Monica, because everything she's heard is that, you know, Monica is, oh, you know what, before we get there, sorry, I did forget this for a second. So Gabe tells Isabel, Monica wants to give me away and wants to be my maid of honor. And Isabel's like, well, she can't do both. She has to pick one. She can't do both. And then she does give us her insight on Monica. She's like, well, I don't know her, but from what I've heard, Monica can be temperamental, can be fickle, and can be controlling, which I do think controlling is fair. I think controlling is fair. Temperamental and fickle, you've not spoken with her yourself. So you can't really, you know, that's not a fair assessment to Monica, I don't think. But these are, again, the impressions she's getting from Gabe directly. So then we know that now. Yeah. So when they meet in person, they're very, you know, she mentions you. She's very polite, very beautiful. She's taller than him. This is what Monica and her mom are talking about. She seems nice.
Yeah. And Isabel is being very, very sweet and nice with them. Like, oh, it's so nice to finally meet you. Like all of this. And Monica's like, oh, doesn't she speak any English? Excuse me? I'm sorry. You just went to a country where English is not the primary language. And now you're mad that someone else doesn't speak English. Well, no, maybe you should have learned some Spanish, Monica.
How about that?
Even if Isabel had been visiting in America and didn't know any English yet, it still would be like a messed up thing to say.
Well, this to me feels like, did Gabe not tell you this before? Like, did you not? Is this something Gabe has never shared with you that, yeah, we don't speak English with each other? That's not the language we use.
I got the impression that Monica would just assume that people would know a little English.
Interesting.
But I don't know. It also could be that Gabe has never brought it up. Like,
right.
We don't have enough information to really assess it. But I didn't love Monica from this episode, but I don't think she's like a demon or hate her or anything. We got off on the wrong foot the minute she was like, oh, she doesn't speak any English. I was like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
To me, she's the skeptical sister that got it right twice. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I don't think this girl is good for you. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Girl turns out not to be good for Gabe. And it happened a couple times. And now she thinks I'm always right. I get it right. So I know better. And that energy causes Gabe to be a little bit more passive towards her and a little bit more avoidant towards her instead of, you know, setting boundaries and be like, you don't meddle in my relationship. Okay. You don't do that. That is not a thing I want like for you to do ever. So that doesn't happen.
100%.
Yeah. So then they go out to eat. And my take on things is, yeah, Gabe keeps things vague and is avoidant. And that's causing the big issues here. Because, again, the two of them don't know anything about each other aside from whatever Gabe has said. And when they talk to Gabe and when Gabe talks about them, it's never the best things being said. There's obviously positive stuff there, but then there's also negative stuff. And also the other part of it for me is if you are telling, like, let's say your boyfriend, Kirsten, right, doesn't know me and doesn't know our friendship. And your boyfriend has seen you rant about me a couple times or the mood I've set you in was negative. It's like, oh, man. Yeah, Puya said the most asinine thing today. It was really annoying. I don't so understand. How can anyone say that? And then meets me. And like, we've been friends for many years and we're good friends, but yes, has in his mind remembers that interaction and the energy you had and the feeling I gave you by, you know, saying whatever I said in that moment. Yeah, there's going to be some negative feelings coming into the conversation. And I think that's what's happening here. Isabel is someone who has watched Gabe be upset and annoyed when Monica comes up. Mm-hmm. And that is not good. And then on the other side, Monica has seen Gabe be scared, too scared to ask about a prenup because that might piss her off and Ooh. Is thinking, oh, she's going to be controlling as well.
And that what's so wild about that is from the conversation where they talked about the prenup, I did not at all get from that Gabe was too scared. I just thought he was being like, I don't want this. And I don't think it will give her a good impression.
Well, and Gabe essentially said, I personally feel like to do that, to do the prenup is kind of saying you're setting it up for failure. Like, that's my ideology on it. And I didn't think it had anything to do with Isabel personally.
Yeah, it's not the vibe I got either. So I'm glad that we both were kind of on the same page there. But it's also hard to, like, Monica must have seen her brother go through so much hardship.
Yeah.
And so it probably makes her extra defensive of him because he's been through a lot and he's already had some relationships that didn't pan out. And so she thinks, okay, well, I know best. But also, Gabe is an adult with agency who can make his own choices. And maybe Gabe and Isabel will work out and maybe they won't, like, long term. Obviously, I think for the season, everything's going to be fine. But either way, that's their journey to take. And it's not her place to interfere on that.
Yeah. I mean, being a protective sibling, definitely, you know, you'd never want to see your siblings hurt. So that's fair. But then at the same time, you can't be policing them either. You can, exactly. You just shouldn't, probably. So then the conversation does go into the prenup stuff. And Monica says, well, would you be okay with signing a prenup? She's like, I'm not concerned by anything materialistic or money. I'm fine to sign it. And then Monica says, well, Gabriel was so scared to ask you this. Are you being honest with me? And the way that was phrased, I thought that seems a little confrontational. You are now putting, she's telling you to your face this. Why would she lie to you? Like that, or if she was lying to you, in what world do you think she's going to be like, yes, I am lying to you. You caught me. Like, that's stupid. That's never going to work out. Now, I didn't think this conversation was so bad that in the next time on, we find out that Monica's not coming to the wedding.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. So yes. I'm very curious. I'm sure some other interaction happens between this and that, because at the dinner when Monica and Isabel are really talking things out, I feel like they actually reached a pretty good common ground. Something else must have happened.
We'll find out more about that next week. But yeah, their wedding is so close. I was asked recently if I know when the finale is. When we get a wedding ceremony around this time, that feels like that's going to be the finale. But I will check to confirm to the audience before we head on out here, because we don't know yet.
It also could be maybe the wedding doesn't happen next episode because it's all the drama with Monica and then we get the wedding.
That is true. That is entirely possible. Well, that does bring us to the end of this episode. The one last thing I want to put out there is we didn't see Chris and Jamie, obviously. In the next time on, we do see that Chris is back with Jamie in person and they are fighting in person. So that's going to be fun.
It looks like an absolutely horrific fight. And the way Chris is talking to Jamie is not nice to see and not appropriate. And Jamie says something and Chris says something like, well, I told you to shut up and you just didn't. So like, this is on you, basically. So get your red flags out, everybody. We're going to be waving them next week on 90 Day Fiancé the other way.
Well, I do have an announcement.
Ooh.
So May 14th, Sunday, May 14th, we are getting a half and half, I believe, which is a 2-hour show. First hour being still some of the episode, and then the second hour being the first part of the tell-all. So, So next week is the penultimate episode. The following week is the 2-hour finale and tell-all start. I'll read you the description. Okay. Episode 15. So season 4, episode 15. Nicole admits to snooping. Jen begs Rishi to let her go. Gabe heads to his wedding without Monica. So you nailed it there. It's not next week. Without his sister. Chris and Jamie have an altercation. Then on an explosive tell-all, tempers flare, secrets are revealed, and new revelations leave everyone stunned.
I personally can't wait.
Yeah, so that'll be coming in 2 weeks. So next week, we have one more episode. The week after that, we have the half and half. And then May 21st, we're going to have tell-all part 2. I don't know if there is a tell-all part 3. I'm going to check right now and see if that information is available to me. Let me see. No, there is a 90 Day Fiancé the other way block there, but it doesn't have a description. So it could be part 3. We'll find out in a week.
Probably next week. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I feel like this season has been so messy, which is what makes it fun for me. Like, I don't really have to have people to root for on this show. In fact, it's better if I can root against like pretty much everyone. So I've enjoyed the season for the most part, though I do not envy you having to talk about Nicole and Mahmood like every week.
It'll be done soon, so I'm happy about that. Interestingly enough, I don't know what the next season is going to be. Usually I feel like a month out, I get some information of like, oh, here's the cast announced for the latest season coming in a month. But I haven't seen any of that. So if anyone has seen any information there, feel free to send it my way.
Does it ever go? Does it go in like a cycle? Like, would we be due for a regular 90 day now? Because
pretty
we just
much.
Had no, we had normal, then happily ever after, then the other way. So then would it be normal again?
I think so. I think that's kind of how it goes. With the show. Now, obviously, they don't all have the same episode run. Some of them go for way longer. Some of them are shorter. But I feel like at this point, I would have seen a yes. And by the way, a new cast drop for this show. I will say here on the podcast, though, if there is a gap, even if it's like 2 week gap, I will be covering 90 Day Fiancé, The Single Life Season 3, which happened a little bit ago, but I've not talked about yet on this show. So that's probably the direction we'll take if there is a hiatus in between 90 days.
Damn, I mean, you could take 2 weeks off too. You are entitled to a vacation.
I could, but also I think taking the opportunity to watch, because I've not been able to do that because I've not had time.
That's fair too.
Yeah. And I think The Single Life is always a fun palate cleanser and is a lot more just messy and less serious, which I think is good.
Okay. And I did I see that they announced another season of Love in Paradise coming up?
It has already started. Okay. Season 3. I believe Pedro's mom is on it. So there is some, you know, not alum, but like returnee energy there. No one wanted her there. And they're like, well, I don't want to watch this. So I've not looked at it, but potentially that's something I could look at later. But I 100% will be going into Single Life next if there is a gap. But we'll see.
Nice.
All right. Well, Kirsten, thanks so much for coming on and talking to me about this lovely, wild little show called 90 Day Fiancé. Let the people know, where can they find you? What are the projects you have going on at the moment?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Everyone, of course, can listen to Mess Magnets. If you love the Hot Mess Express, the Mess Magnets is like a stop along the line. If you want to hear about pop culture, celeb gossip and all of that, our latest episode, we did break down the Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney stuff. And that part has been posted to the RHAP YouTube. So if people could go and like thumbs up that video for us and watch it, that would really mean a lot to the Mess Magnets, finding new listeners. And this week, Sasha and I will also be on Renap talking about Into the Habit Hole, talking about weird habits, which will be really good. And of course, Kowski Cast talking about Riverdale with Mary, and the Queen Charlotte series is starting. So we'll be there on post-show recaps. And follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What.
Perfect. Thank you once again, Kirsten. Appreciate you. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. Do have some content going on there. Go check it out. Enjoy. And stop by. I would appreciate it. You can also find me talking about The Masked Singer, which is also coming to a close very soon. May is the month of finales, folks. So that'll be coming to an end, but Liana and I will be talking about it all the way to the end. So you can find us talking about that this week as well. And then as far as Big Brother Canada goes, this week is the last week of Big Brother Canada. The finale's coming up May 11th. So I got a couple more opportunities to talk about the show. So you'll find me talking about it on the Rahapups Network and, you know, the Big Brother feed as well. And last but not least, Bel Air finale is here. And Chappelle and I will be talking one more time about Bel Air before it's all said and done. So you can find that over on Post Show Recaps as well. And if you would like to leave a rating and review for this episode, I would appreciate it. You can do so over on robswebsite.com/90dayfiancé. That's the number 9, number 0, day fiancé. Leave your reviews and your thoughts. It always is good for me to get feedback, know what's working, what might not be working. And as always, your 5 stars are appreciated. But for now, we have arrived at our destination here on the Hot Mess Express. We hope you had fun with us, and we'll be here with you next week for the penultimate episode of this season. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
Chumba.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.